A couple of questions I have for you tonight are, what is hindering your rest, your peace, your walk with the Lord? Or what is hindering you from going deeper with the Lord? Tonight we are going to see what is holding us back and what we must do to fix it. The first thing that I want us to understand is that our lives here on earth, our walk with the Lord requires work, right? Before time began, God created the heavens and the earth and everything on it in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. It wasn't hard for him, but he set a precedent an example for us of what work should look like and the importance of rest. It also shows how diligence and hard work produces great rest. God didn't stop in the middle of making the earth and say, well, it's done, I'm finished, wash his hands clean. He didn't say the heaven is made, the earth is made, the land and sea. He didn't stop there. No, he had a plan and he had a purpose. He finished creating everything and said it was good. He worked diligently day in and day out until he had finished, and then he had rested. Our walk with the Lord needs to be the same. There will be a great rest at the end when we finally make it home with him. But until that day, there is much work to be done here on earth. In Hebrews 12:1, a verse you are all very familiar with, it talks about a race. Oftentimes, our Christian walk or our Christian life is linked to a race. It reads, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Our race here on earth entails what? As the body of Christ, it is important for us to work together in the Great Commission in sharing the love of Christ, spreading the gospel, leading the lost to Christ, and helping one another, especially as Christ returns, as the return of Christ is approaching. This race we're on, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Yes, we are to share the gospel with others and help our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we can't do that if our spiritual man isn't fed and rested, or if there are stumbling blocks in the way. There is more to our walk with the Lord than just that. Any trainer who is preparing for a marathon or a physical activity of that nature will tell you that they need food and that they need rest. Or even a gardener. Gardeners know that the ground that they're working, it needs tilling, right? And if you're moving the seeds around too much, or if there isn't enough water, or if there's not enough light, the garden will die. You're not going to be able to produce, the fruits and the vegetables that you've planted. There has to be tilling of that ground and getting rid of weeds, making sure there aren't insects or rats eating away at your garden. And if we're going to run this race with endurance and cross that finish line, there has to be a shedding of the things of this world, ridding our lives of the things that are weighing us down and holding us back. We must till that soil, pick those weeds, and feed our spiritual man. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, in this verse, we'll see what needs shedding. Hebrews 4, verse 11, it says, let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In this verse, the author is talking about the unbelieving Israelites. What do we know about the Israelites? They were in the wilderness for 40 years, right? They were murmuring, complaining, even though they were delivered from slavery and they were fed, and even though their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. The Israelites didn't have the faith to believe God's promises for the promised land. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it reads, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is not God's desire for us to fall, and it wasn't God's desire to keep the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. But why did it take the Israelites 40 years before they entered the promised land? It was because of their lack of faith. They doubted who God was. They doubted who God is. Not having faith is sin. The thing that kept the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years was the lack of faith, which is sin. They allowed sin to enter their heart. As it said in the second portion of Hebrews 11, verse 6, it said, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." He is what? He is the great I am. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning, the end. He just is. He's God. He's our great defender. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our healer. He is who he says he is. And he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you truly believe who God is, who he says he is? I don't know about you, but how many of you can attest to the great rest that you felt that day that you gave your life to the Lord? There was a peace there that you've never felt before. One that is kind of hard to describe, but I know for myself, as though the weight of the world had been lifted off of my shoulders. Why? Because I had faith. I believed, and I knew at that moment that I gave my life to Christ, that I had a defender. I had someone who would always have my back.
Amen.
Someone who would love me even when I was unlovable.
Amen.
Who would lift my chin up and wipe my tears when I had fallen. Yes. Who died for me. But not only just for me, but for each and every one of you in this room. The verse goes on to say that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As I said earlier, it wasn't God's desire to keep the Israelites in the wilderness. It's not God's desire for you to be in a state of unrest. It's not God's desire for you to be in a state without peace. It's not God's desire for you to not go deeper with him and to not be in bondage. His desire for you is to finish that race and to finish it with endurance. So how do we get to that place of rest with God? It's by surrender. By seeking him, surrendering our desires, our thoughts to him, and making sure that our will lines up with his, and most importantly, shedding those things of the world that are holding us back, slowing us down, and that is sin. Our walk with the Lord is a continual thing. It didn't stop on that day that you gave your life to him. Just like with gardening or a race that you are preparing for, you must maintain it on a regular basis. And with a race, you must push yourself to practice every day. And what about our physical body, right? We have to eat. Same with our relationship with the Lord. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and allow the Word of God to work in our lives, to cultivate our heart and prune it to do surgery and to heal those wounds and to give it nutrients. But how are we going to get to that point of pruning if we aren't seeking him on a daily basis? If you aren't spending time with him, just as with a garden, if you don't tend to it, all those flowers and fruit you've planted will just die. And even with practicing for a race, all of that hard work you put to it, you're not going to be able to make it through to that finish line, to the end. You'll be as the Israelites, wandering around in the wilderness, missing the promise that God has for you. You'll be missing his will for your life. And why? It comes down to sin. Where are your priorities? Maybe it's stubbornness, and you're resisting the Lord. Maybe you've heard him loud and clear about a direction in your life, but you're digging your heels in. Or perhaps there is a hidden sin or a secret you're harboring, and you think only you know about it, but you know what? The thoughts that you have and those things that you think about in secret, the Word says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Nothing is hidden from the sight of God, not your thoughts or your intentions of those thoughts, nothing. Or perhaps maybe you're just lazy and you would find other things to do to fill your time rather than spending time praying or reading the word and spending time with God. You can fill in the blank with what that sin is that's in your life that's holding you back from that rest and that peace that God has for you. Let me remind you that it says that the Lord, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I want you to think back to that time that you gave your life to the Lord, that joy that you felt on that day, that peace that you felt. He wants that for you. He wants even greater things for you, more than just that. His desire is not of one of heartache, of toil, uneasiness, disarray, or bondage. His desire for you is of good and not evil. But we can't arrive to that point, though, without that surrender, laying down of our will and our desires. There must be a laying down and dying to self. In verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. But even so, He loves you anyway. It's those thoughts of maybe unbelief or doubting in who God says He is, or wrong intentions or wrong motive in our works for the Lord, or the deep secrets and remote thoughts that we have. You fill in the blank. It's all those things and more that separates us from Him. Each doubt, every wrong thought, you name it, you're building a wall. You're building a wall. You're building separation. If you don't come to the Lord and seek Him and spend time in His Word and allow the Word, and you don't allow the Word to do surgery, you don't allow this Word, this sharp two-edged sword, to cut deep down into the most intimate parts of your body, to the joints and the marrow, to your heart, if you don't allow God to speak to you, if you don't allow the great physician to do surgery and to cut that sin out, you're in a place of disarray. You're in a place of separation. That wall, each of those things, is going to get deeper and wider and taller. And that voice that you hear when He's knocking on your heart, it's going to get fainter and fainter. We don't allow the great physician to do surgery and cut those sins out of us. That voice that we hear now, like I said, it's going to grow fainter. That wall will get thicker and taller day by day. If we don't allow God to do what He's called to do, if you don't allow the Word to change you inside and out, if you don't allow Him to touch your heart, He sees it all. We must allow it to remove those deep, dark places in our hearts. It's His Word that pulls down strongholds. It's Amen. His Word that brings the dead to life. It's Amen. His Word that makes the deaf to hear. It's Amen. By His Word the blind are given sight, the yes. lame can walk, yes. and it's by His Word that chains Amen. Are broken.
Amen. 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 Yes, thank you, Lord.
And it is His Word that makes a proud man humble, a perverse spirit meek and obedient.
Thank you.
Those sinful habits that you've acquired over time and years that seem natural and rooted into who you think that you are, that you think that's a part of you, they're separated and cut out. The Word of God is living and it is powerful. The Word is faster than light and it's quick to pierce the heart. How many of you can attest to have been in church and all of a sudden you feel as though the pastor is preaching right to you? You know, some of us like to say it's as though the pastor's reading your mail, right? That right there is the Holy Spirit quickening in you that something isn't right. It's in that moment that we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And what did I say earlier? In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. We must be diligent not to ignore those pricks of the heart, those flashing red lights, that uneasiness in our spirit. that unrest of all of those warning signs, you name it. We must act fast and respond. And we must surrender those sins to Him and allow His Word, allow the Holy Spirit, the great physician, to do surgery. And it's only going to be better for you. In verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in those in the time of need." Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And His grace is sufficient for you. We all are sinners saved by grace. But it's our privilege to be able to approach that throne of grace, not just on Sunday mornings, but on a daily basis. On this side of heaven, we're not all perfect, and we fall. And that is why it's important that you are daily before God at that throne, praying against the devil and those future snares. The devil will try to sneak into your life, and we should come with a humble freedom and a boldness, with liberty of spirit and speech, asking in faith, not doubting, as children of God. We are to come with reverence and a godly fear and ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask, believing in faith, for those things that seem impossible. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So just to recap, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." We must remember that without faith it is impossible to please God. We must come to Him in prayer. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." For us to be able to run this race here on earth and with endurance, we must what? Stay humble and with a repentant heart before God. And in doing so, that requires us being in His Word. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We must remember how powerful the word is. When we seek God and go into His Word, we must allow the Holy Spirit to cut out those dark places. Allow the surgeon to do His work. In Hebrews 4, verse 13. "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him who must give an account." Remember, there is nothing hidden before God. One day we will have to give an account for every thought and action that we have done. We must therefore do what? As it said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we must boldly go before the throne of grace. We must go to God and ask for forgiveness. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We thank You, God, for this word that You have given us today, God. I pray that we would take it to heart, Lord God, and those things that are not of You, Lord God, I pray that we would lay them down at Your throne and surrender them, Lord God, and ask for forgiveness, that we might be able to go deeper with You, Lord God, and that we wouldn't be hindered anymore, Lord, that we would be able to press on and run this race with endurance, Lord God, and that we wouldn't be able to be stopped anymore, Lord God, but we would be able to receive fully what You have for us and what You have for this church, God, because we know, Lord God, as Pastor Marcus preached, Lord, that You have great things in store for us and that You are going to be doing a great work, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that we would lay down these hindrances, Lord God, and seek You with all of our heart, Lord, and that we would put You first, Lord God. Let us be able to have that rest in You during this race, Lord God, that you desire for us to have, Lord God. And help us to be able to have that endurance to be able to run this race, Lord God. Mm-hmm. May we find peace in Your word, and may we be able to find love, Lord God, and also conviction, God, from Your word, Lord. have your way in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.